Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, also Inauguration Day. It's the 20th of January, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, along with Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller on the news today, including the need for agriculture property tax bills to get relief this year from the Indiana legislature, and what EPA might do with WOTUS under the new administration's pick for the agency chief. The HAT podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin here today, too. He says the cold is here for more than just today. And the Friday grains and oil seeds rebounded. Brian Basting analysis coming up on the HAT Morning Podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Attention farmers, a big part of the Keystone Cooperative Advantage is reinvesting in the business to better serve farmer members. To support this effort, they're partnering with Purple Wave Auction to sell over 150 pieces of quality equipment this January and February, including over 70 sprayers and spreaders with brands ranging from Case to John Deere and Rogator. And there's so much more selling in these auctions. Get registered today at purplewave.com.
Trying to tackle farmland property taxes at the State House, and Trump's EPA nominee promises clarity on WOTUS. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Property tax reform is among the top priorities for state lawmakers here in 2025. CJ Miller recently spoke with State Representative Kendall Culp about his bill that would lower the property tax burden on farmland owners.
The last 3 years, agriculture's assessed value has gone up 63%. Now, no other taxing group has taken that kind of an increase.
And that's Representative Culp talking about House Bill 1192, which would ultimately lower property taxes for Indiana farmland owners by changing the way your county assessors calculate the value of farmland.
The Purdue formula that takes into account commodity prices, cash rents, input expenses, and interest rates. And so basically what I've done is change the interest rate. Currently, they use an interest rate of 8%, a capitalization rate. Mine would take it to 10%. What's important is you take the average of all of this, these input costs, the cash rents, and the grain prices over a six-year period, and you divide that by the interest rate. So if you're dividing by a larger number, your result is going to be a smaller number, which that is your assessed valuation.
Culp's bill offers an additional change to the calculation.
We're taking the past 6 years' history and we're dropping the high year and averaging the other five. While that's good that it smooths out the peaks and valleys in the assessment, it does not necessarily reflect the current conditions of the finances of agriculture. And so what I'm suggesting is we drop the two high years. So we would average the four out of the last six lowest years, divide that by the capitalization rate. That would give us the number. And so those two changes, I think, would make a substantial difference and would be more realistic and reflective of the current ag economy as it stands today.
A fiscal study by the state legislature says that farmland owners would pay $33.2 million less in 2027 if the bill becomes law. However, that same study says that farmland assessments could be reduced by an estimated $9.2 billion for that same year, and that could cause an increase in other tax rates.
While I understand we have to certainly provide revenue for local governments and schools, it has to be fair, and the burden of these increases cannot only be borne just by agriculture.
You can hear my full conversation with Representative Kendall Culp. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
At Keystone Cooperative, being farmer-owned means giving back to those who make it all possible, our farmer owners. After a remarkable year in 2024, we're returning $68 million to our members through patronage, an incredible 57% of our profits. Unlike Wall Street companies, we deliver our success directly to Main Street. This is the Cooperative Advantage. This historic return benefits farmers across Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. Keystone Cooperative, centered on you.
Former Congressman Lee Zeldin, President-elect Trump's nominee to head the EPA, vowed at his Senate confirmation hearing clarity on WOTUS rules, timeliness on renewable volume targets, and cooperation with USDA. Zeldin agreed with North Dakota's Kevin Cramer that the Supreme Court was clear in its definition of a water of the U.S. in its Sackett decision. And as for a future EPA WOTUS rule,
it is important that when you're going back to your home state and you're speaking to your farmers, that you are able to, with confidence, be able to explain to them that the federal government is doing our part so that they can define what waters of the U.S. are without them having to go hire an attorney or someone else, pay a lot of money to ensure compliance.
He followed that up with,
so I will make sure that I'm doing my part, that the EPA is honoring the decision of Sackett and any future laws to come out of Congress. That is my commitment to you.
And this question from Nebraska's Pete Ricketts on chronically late renewable volume obligation or RVO rules.
Congressman Zeldin, do you commit to give producers and the industry certainty in the marketplace deserves? Give them the certainty by following the law as it relates to the timely and appropriate RVO rulemakings.
Yes, Senator.
Zeldin noted President-elect Trump's past support for E15, but couldn't predict year-round sales of the fuel nationally.
As far as establishing certainty, hopefully this is something that Congress is able to resolve to the extent that you're relying on the EPA to establish that certainty. I look forward to being able to do my part.
Ag Chair John Bozeman asked Zeldin if he'd work closely with USDA on predictable, science-based, and timely pesticide rules.
That must be our goal. That should be the relationship between all agencies, including the interaction between the EPA and the USDA.
Zeldin did receive a mostly friendly reception from both sides of the aisle, though Democrats did challenge him on climate change and questioned if he still held the 2016 commitments on ending fossil fuel use. Zeldin was noncommittal. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it. Operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit Mid-America is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Calling all organic grain farmers. Make plans to attend the Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting February 19th at the Beck Ag Center in West Lafayette. Explore the trade show for organic farming products and services. Network with fellow organic farmers and get your certification questions answered. Register online by searching Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting or call Ashley Adair 765-496-6362. This message brought to you by Purdue Extension and the Indiana Organic Network.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Arctic high pressure in charge today, and we're going to be dealing with this cold Arctic air mass through the next several days. Today, likely the coldest, and if it's not the coldest, tomorrow's going to be right there with it. Winds are strong today and tomorrow. That's creating dangerous wind chills. Also a little bit of lake effect, but the lake effect boundary is shifting a little bit farther north as winds go more westerly, especially through a late afternoon today and through tomorrow. That's going to help us a little bit. I think we see clouds and some sunshine over a large part of the state through the next couple of days. The only reason why we don't see more sunshine at times is going to be this brutal cold air and just wringing out moisture in the form of cloud cover. We are precipitation free outside of the lake effect through most of this week. Have a few flurries that want to pop up likely on Thursday, but no well-organized system. A clipper moving through the Great Lakes region for Friday into Saturday triggers some light snow and flurries up that way, but nothing down in Indiana, so dry for the entirety of this week. Early next week, maybe see a little bit of light snow and flurry action coming through the Great Lakes and into Indiana again as another round of cold air races in. It is going to stay here through most of the rest of next week, but I am seeing a significant warming surge out west toward the end of next week, and I still feel there's a decent shot of that warming trying to get in here in early February. There's a weather system right as we switch the calendar from January to February that can bring rain and wet snow back for the first into the second. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Bundle up near term. No moisture here to speak of. It's all about the cold and the frigid air. That's what we've got to deal with through most of this week. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
It's too good to be kept a secret. The Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter. Every weekday morning, it gives you the latest news that's important to Indiana agriculture, plus a review of the farm markets and a customized weather forecast that's just for Indiana. It's free. It's in your email box every morning. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your employees to sign up for the Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app.
Strong Friday gains to reverse the Thursday trend. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. We'll have the final numbers coming up momentarily. We begin, though, with market analysis. And I grabbed that in the middle of the trading session Friday from Brian Basting, economist at Advanced Trading. Markets are rebounding on Friday after a sell-off on Thursday. It has been a choppy and very volatile week, and mostly higher in the case of corn and soybeans. Brian, what do you make of the Friday rally?
Thank you for having me, Andy, and you summarized that quite well. It has been a volatile week. We're in the middle of January, and typically markets are rather quiet in the middle of the late January, but not this year. We've got a lot of moving pieces here. We've got uncertainty about weather conditions in South America. The corn is going through pollination in Argentina. This is the early planted corn, Andy, that was planted last fall. And it is not pollinating under the best circumstances. It's not a catastrophe. I don't want to say it's a catastrophe, but it's not pollinating in the best of circumstances. Having said that, there is some rain moving in this weekend and next week. So again, volatile, the word you used was spot on. So, but for the moment, the commodity funds, Andy, have gotten long corn. And we'll get an update this afternoon on how long they were earlier this week. But it certainly feels like they're in no hurry to get out of those long positions at the moment. We saw March corn this morning go up to the highest price it's been since, I believe, June 13th. That's a seven-month high in corn futures at about 484. So volatile is what is probably going to remain that way, too. Beans down 20 cents on Thursday, up 10 to 15 cents here on Friday as you and I speak. Again, more volatility there on beans, I think, looking at Argentina soybeans. They're not quite in that critical reproductive state yet. It's more towards the end of the month and more so in February, but just the trend of dryness is got the market a little on edge. And I believe the funds have finally switched to a small long position on beans, much more aggressive than they were on corn, or much less aggressive than they were on corn, beg your pardon. But we'll see how that shakes out. I would say balance sheet-wise, Andy, that the balance sheet for U.S. corn following that USDA report a week ago is definitely tighter than it is for soybeans, and that's why I think the funds jumped on board, as it were, corn earlier. But I think we've got a three-day weekend. I'd remind your listeners that Monday is Martin Luther King holiday. Trading won't resume again after it ends today at 2:20 Eastern time until 8 p.m. Eastern time on Monday. So a lot can happen over 3.5 days. So the market is going to be watching those developments over the weekend. And we'll have a new administration sworn in on Monday. We'll have an updated weather forecast on Monday. And I think volatile is the word that you use, and I just encourage your listeners to continue to defend their balance sheet and continue to be really disciplined in their marketing.
We've talked a lot about the USDA report a week ago on Friday, which really caused some reaction within the market, but you've focused a lot on South American weather. Where are we right now? Mostly a South American weather-dominated market?
I think the foundation as such, Andy, was laid with that report last Friday when we saw the much smaller than expected crops that you noted a moment ago. The addition to that has been the concern about South America, specifically looking at Argentina with the dryness there. A little bit of concern starting to surface also with the wetness in northern Brazil. They're trying to harvest the beans in northern Brazil as we get ready to hunker down for a very cold weekend here in the Midwest, Andy. But they are harvesting beans, but they've been stalled a little bit by wet weather. Now, the forecast is a little bit drier for northern Brazil starting this weekend and into next week, so they may have a better opportunity. So I don't want to read too much into that for your listeners, but it's something to be aware of going forward, that we all know we get into September and October here in the Midwest. And particularly for those beans, you definitely want to take advantage of that opportunity to get them harvested. You don't want to get a real wet harvest for beans, it can cause some problems with mold and quality issues. But I think the foundation as such, Andy, was laid with a report last Friday, and we just kind of added fuel or more fireworks, as it were, with the ongoing concern about dryness in Argentina. And I'd add one more thing. We had a good export sales report yesterday for corn and a decent export sales report for beans. But we continue to see good interest in corn from a number of Asian destinations. Just not as much supply available from our competitors this year, competitors being countries such as Brazil, Ukraine. Those areas, those regions have much less corn available than they do a year ago. And as a result, we continue to be the primary shop in town. And what's got the market nervous here now is that in Argentina, typically accounts for about 25% of the world's corn exports from March to June. So that's just 60 days away and less than that, 45 days away till we get into March. And the market, again, just a little bit jittery about the size. It is not a catastrophe. I want to underscore that. And I don't want people to say this is a crop that's burning you up, but it's not ideal. And that's what's got the market on edge.
Market analysis from Brian Basting, economist at Advanced Trading. The number there is 309-664-2314. On the Hat Friday Farm Market Review, final numbers. New contract high in corn, March 484 and a quarter, ending the day up 9 3/4. May contract up an even dime at 493, and July goes to 494 and a quarter, up 8 1/4. 15 cents higher on the May beans, 1034. May 1044 and 3/4, up 13 1/4. And July up 12.5 cents, 1055 1/4. A penny and a quarter higher on the March and May wheat contracts. March 538 3/4, May 550 3/4. Meats were mixed. February live cattle came off the day's lows to finish on the plus side, up 15 cents, 196.75. April down 17 cents. February lean hogs down $1.17 at 81.12. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday market review. Markets are closed Monday for the Martin Luther King holiday, which also happens to be Inauguration Day, of course. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.